The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief for pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide in every change. He faithful will remain. And griefs to bear. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
I'm taking one step at a time. I'm following Jesus with his hand in mine. I don't know where he's taking me, but I know he'll take care of me one step at a time. It's a crazy world that we're living in. From one day to the next, you could sink or swim. Everybody's talking answers, but no one really knows if any of it's true or just what the future holds. I'm taking one step at a time. I'm following Jesus with his hand in mine. I don't know where he's taking me, but I know he'll take care of me one step at a time. Sometimes I have plans that do not work out, and I ask the Lord, what's this all about? He reminds me that he's had the plan all along, So I just need to follow him into the vast unknown by taking one step at a time. Following Jesus with his hand in mine. I don't know where he's taking me, but I know he'll take care of me one step at a time. It's a path of fate and not one of sight. But just when I need it, God's word is my light. On this journey, I must learn to trust and obey. I'll follow where he leads me for the rest of my days by taking one step at a time. I'm following Jesus with his hand in mine. I don't know where he's taking me, but I know he'll take care of me one step at a time. One step at a time.
I've been behind this a few times, but it's still awful tall. When they said it was made for Brother Hawkins, it was made for Brother Hawkins. For him especially. I'm going to move that over here. I'm a right-handed fellow. Amen. Well, it is good to be with you folks again. We don't seem like we get to see much of you, but we love you. And Brother Hawkins called the other day and asked if I would come. Turn to the book of Jonah this morning. Got a message that from a book that's so familiar. One of the minor prophets. Most of us can name many of the minor prophets, but the book of Jonah is different from all the other minor prophets. You read in the other books that the word of the Lord came to Amos, or the word of the Lord came to Habakkuk, and he said, and then we read chapters of various prophecies that God has given that prophet. However, in the book of Jonah, we read that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the next four chapters are a big embarrassment to Jonah. And we find out, you see, in the book of Jonah that he messed up in this incident that is related in this book. We find out that Jonah had a bad attitude. None of those here this morning, is there? We find out he had issues. I'm sure none of us have any issues. And we find out that he really messed up on something that God had asked him to do. And most Bible scholars, if you study the commentaries and so forth, they conclude that this book was indeed written by Jonah himself. And that's good. I mean, he's writing a book, and he's writing a book about himself. But if you had four chapters in the Bible that was going to be read by millions of people, and your story was going to be passed down from generation to generation, going to be remembered by all the little Sunday school kids for generation after generation, and you get to write it, would you write what Jonah wrote? I don't think we would. I think we'd probably write about our best days with the Lord. I think we'd write about all the neat times we had with God and how faithful we were to Him. I think we'd write about all the different ones that we had a part in bringing to the Lord. I think we'd write about all the times that we'd gone out of our way to help people. But Jonah writes about some of his worst days. He writes about some of his hardest days. And saints, we all know the story of Jonah and the whale real well. But before we look at the Jonah that we all know, let's look to see what he was doing before the call to Nineveh. There's only one other verse in Scripture that mentions, well, that mentions about what he was doing anyway. There are scriptures in the New Testament where the Lord refers to Jonah, but as far as what his ministry was, and that's in 2 Kings 14:5, and we read, he, Jeroboam, speaking of Jeroboam the second, restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath into the Sea of the Plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet which was of Gath-hepher. And what I want to point out is that Jonah was a prophet to the nation of Israel before God had ever directed him to go to Nineveh. And we read in Jonah 1:1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Now, we read there in verse 1 that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. That's a great day. When God's talking to you, that's a good day that he's talking to you. And he says, arise, get up. I don't know if Jonah was asleep or if he's sitting in his easy chair, which we do quite often now that we're retired. But he says, get up and go. God called him to go. Maybe Jonah was hoping that God was going to tell him to go back to Jeroboam and prophesy to the nation of Israel. But he says, Nineveh. Jonah says, Nineveh? Did I hear you right, Lord? You know, the Assyrians are our enemies. They are a real threat to our nation. And no prophet's ever been called to the Gentiles at that time. Actually, Jonah is chronologically is the first of all the prophets, chronologically. But and the Assyrians were very wicked people. They were very cruel to, when they took over a nation, they were extremely cruel to the people that they conquered. And we actually read in chapter 4, and I'm sure it was somewhere around this time that of a conversation that Jonah had with the Lord about how that the Lord was merciful and that he was afraid God was going to be merciful to the Assyrians, and Jonah wanted them punished. He didn't want God's mercy to be displayed upon them or put upon them. Yeah, they were too evil for the gospel, so he thought. But you see, saints, it wasn't that God had asked Jonah to go that was a real problem. It was just who he wanted him to go to. He had already made a judgment about the Assyrians, that they didn't deserve the gospel. And saints, what God commanded Jonah to do, it wasn't a new vocation for him. It wasn't like God says, I want you to become a prophet. I want you to, you know, quit being a tent maker or quit being a carpenter. I want you to be a prophet. He was already a prophet. He was a prophet to the nation of Israel. But Jonah is an example of when God says go and our heart says no. He was a man of God. He was a prophet. He was used to hearing from God. I'm sure this wasn't only the second time that God ever talked to him and had commanded him to do various things. But God told him to do this one thing, and he was reluctant to obey. Have you ever had a Jonah moment in your life, saints? Sometimes when God speaks to us, and we know it's God. I mean, you know it's God. You can't get away from it. You rebuke the enemy, and that thought's still there. You rebuke that thought, and it's still there. And you say, this isn't of God. This isn't of God. Your phone rings, and it's your most trusted spiritual friend, confidant. And they say, you know, it just seems like the Lord is saying. And you set down the phone, and you say, hey, Lord, I rebuke that person in the name of Jesus. That's not what you're saying. And you go to church and you open your Bible and there it is. And you go to a conference and there it is. You just can't get away from it. And God was telling Jonah to go to Nineveh. But something inside him said, no, I don't want to do that, Lord. I'm not going to do that. He decided to run. And so Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord told him to rise up. He rose up. The Lord told him to go, and he went. Only thing, he went the other direction. He went to Tarshish. Why Tarshish? Why do we do what we do sometimes? I don't know why Tarshish. Maybe he saw a recent travel brochure of the beautiful Tarshish. Anyway, God had commanded him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was over 500 miles east of Palestine by land. Tarshish, they believe, was over 2,500 miles west of Israel by ocean. Little difference there. But he's a prophet and he knows the Lord. He knows God's God. And yet he flees from the presence of the Lord. A lot of luck with that, saints. Have you ever had any luck fleeing from the presence of the Lord? I really believe Jonah viewed God as the God of Israel. And I think he viewed him, even though he knew the Lord, I think he viewed him in his presence locally with Israel. And he knew God to be a God of mercy. So I really think in his mind he thought, well, if I flee Israel, you know, God's the God of Israel. And so if I flee Israel, God's a God of mercy, so he's going to show mercy to me too. And after all, there's a bunch of prophets in Israel. He doesn't have to be me. You know, he can always get somebody else to do the job. And so he goes down to the port city of Joppa, and he's already got in his mind, see, he's fleeing to Tarshish. That's already the thought. I mean, he's got the city in mind where he's going. I'm fleeing to Tarshish. And as we said, Tarshish was over 2,000 miles, close to 2,500 miles, they think, over on the coast of Spain, beautiful port city, see? And it was as far away from Israel as you can get. See, he's supposed to be at Nineveh, 500 miles this way, and he goes 2,000-something miles this way. That's quite away from where God wanted him to go. And guess what? When he gets to Joppa, there just happens to be a ship boarding right then for Tarshish. Right at that time. All right, he says. God must be okay with this. Otherwise, he would have stopped me. He wouldn't have a ship boarding for Tarshish right now if he didn't mind me going. I mean, there could have not been a ship for 2 months. But there's one going. He must be okay with this. So he boards, kind of a reverse fleece, you know. Lord, if you don't want me to go, stop me. I want to go, so if you don't want me to go, stop me. And so he thought, probably, God must not care where I go. After all, he wants me to prophesy to Gentiles, and there's Gentiles in Tarsus. So he can, you know, he can use me wherever I'm at. And so he paid his fare, and there's always a price to pay when we go contrary to the way the Lord wants to lead us. Saints, think about that. He paid to go the wrong way. Now, you know, whenever you get out here on the turnpike and you go to the turnpike and they say, okay, you can pay your fare here, but you only can go this way. You can't go that way. You got to go this way. But he paid to go the wrong direction. Have you ever paid to do some dumb stuff? What was the cost? For Israel, it cost them 40 years. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, heartache and loss. Sometimes dumb stuff costs us a lifetime. Sometimes it does. And saints, there'll always be vessels. There'll always be jobs. There'll always be people to take you in a different direction than where the Lord wants to lead you. Now, when we study the book of Jonah, we find out what his problem really was. He was an isolationist. He thought that God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Israel, and Jonah believed that the message of God's grace and the message of God's mercy should be reserved just for the Jew. And as far as the Assyrians were concerned, the Assyrians, as far as he was concerned, let them be judged. In other words, let them go to hell. You know, they're too wicked. Just let them go. You know, I mean, if you you look at some people in history, if you looked at Hitler, well, Lord, let him go to hell. I mean, with what he's done, you know. I mean, so there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us, you know. We look at certain people and say, well, just judge them, Lord. Just judge them. But God wants to take us some places that a lot of times that we don't want to go. The Lord, we come to church and the Lord says, I want you to go do this. I want you to do that. I want you to deal with some of these issues that you're dealing with or that's in your heart and in your life. And we look at the mirror of God's word and we see God beginning to open up some things and we aren't so willing to deal with those issues. Oftentimes we try to pick and choose what we want to deal with. Lord, I'll deal with this, but let's leave that one alone. But God says, Nineveh. And we say, I don't think so. And so we get up. Lord said, arise. And he said, go. And we go. We get on board. But we get on board where that captain is saying, welcome aboard to our beautiful cruise to beautiful Tarsus. And saints, that's where Jonah was bound for. But on his way, God sent him some presents. The Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest to the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it for them. But Jonah was gone down into the rear of the ship, the side of the ship, it says, and he lay and was fast asleep. Now here's the first present. God sent Jonah a storm. Now, saints, we're not told how far on the journey they got. We don't know if this storm came the first day out or if it came the second day out, but Jonah's still sleeping. Oftentimes when God's dealing with us and our spirit's in a turmoil, we have trouble sleeping. Sleep is a struggle sometimes when your spirit's in a turmoil. But Jonah was sound asleep. He was committed and he was contented with the direction he had chosen. Saints, even that violent storm, that tossing of that boat didn't wake him. The storm was the very thing that was sent to get Jonah's attention, but he was oblivious to it. When we're on the run and trying to escape from the thing that we know that God has laid on our hearts, then what we're really saying is, Lord, please send me the present of the storm. Send me a storm. Anyone ever received a storm? Anyone in a storm? Saints, this storm, and many of the storms, not all the storms that we go through in life, but many of them that we go through are really gifts from God. It was sent to that very boat. I don't know how that storm affected other boats that were on the ocean. I don't know how far the storm affected the ocean, but it was sent for that very boat, and it was sent to redirect Jonah's life. But he's so numb to what's going on around about him. He's sleeping, but the sailors are doing everything they can do to make that ship sailable. They were scared. They were calling on their gods. They were throwing the ship's cargo overboard. We read in Job 2:4, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. When it comes to our life, we'll throw a lot of things overboard. you see people that go through fires and tornadoes, and here you see their house just devastated, just gone. But so often, over and over again, you say, well, at least we're all, we're all here. At least we're alive, those things can be replaced. And these sailors were in the midst of the storm of all storms. Their lives was in danger. But it wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault. These sailors, when you sail the oceans, if you're a sailor that's been out there a long time, you've seen a lot of storms. You can't be in the Navy and not see some storms. On our way to Vietnam for the 25 days, we saw some storms, and we saw some calm too. But I've realized right away I didn't want to be no Navy man. I was on there for about 25 days, and that's 25 days long enough. But these sailors knew that that was not a normal storm. But the person for who it was intended for was sound asleep, snoring away in the bottom of the boat. And so what God does is he sends Jonah another present. We read Jonah 1:6, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, if so be that he will think upon us that we perish not. Who was it that came? The captain. The shipmaster. The captain. Now, saints, the captain is that person who God uses to rouse us from our sleep and complacency. Wake up! How can you sleep in the midst of this storm? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll have mercy upon us. Isn't that something here? This unbelieving captain's calling for a prayer meeting while the prophet sleeps. And the captain, I want to remind you, is the person on board ship that controls all the actions on board. We read in these next few verses that the captain dictates as we read these next few verses, we realize that the captain is really the one that dictates everything that happens on board ship. Nothing happens apart from the captain's commands and directions. So when you're on board ship, everything you do has to come from the captain, because he's the one that controls that. And so in this particular instance, the captain is an unbeliever. But God will see to it that you have some spiritual captains in your life. And we read 1:7, and then they said, everyone unto his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Oh, no, he says. Wouldn't you know it? But I think now it's beginning. I don't think it really ever sunk in until that time. And I think now it's beginning to sink in to Jonah. Okay, let's see. I'm running from God. There happened to be a ship going to Tarshish. I've been asleep and there's a storm. And now then they think it's me that's causing it. I bet it is. Jonah might have thought, well, no wonder this storm is so bad. God's mad at me. He's upset with me because I didn't do what he wanted to do. And then the captain and his men begin to ask questions. I mean, that whatever the lot was, however they did it, if it was, you know, 12 black rocks and one white rock and Jonah drew the white lock or whatever way that kind of drew short straws or, you know, however they did casting lots, they knew it was Jonah. And so the captain and his men then began to fire questions at him. You know, unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What's your occupation? Where did you come from? What country did you come from? What people are you? I mean, you know, here they're just firing one question after another. The lot had fallen on Jonah, and it was out that he was the reason of the storm. Once again, God's using unbelievers to prick the heart of his prophet. Saints, when we aren't listening to the storm, we need God to send a person, a spiritual leader or a spiritual friend, who will come to us and say, excuse me, what's going on in your life? What's the deal in your life? Is there something you need to tell me? Is there something I can do, some way I can help? You know, saints, we don't like those question-asking friends, do we? We don't like people butting into our affairs. But we need the humility and the brokenness to receive the captains that the Lord sends our way. We also need the courage to allow the Lord to use us to be a captain in the lives of others also. We all need believers in our immediate world who are honest enough and spiritual enough to ask the right questions. And so Jonah said unto them, I'm Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God, the God of heaven, which is hath made the sea and the dry land. And then these men were exceeding afraid. And they said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. He began to relay the whole scenario. Now it's out. He's the man of God and he's on the run from the presence of the Lord. Wasn't wanting to do what God asked him. And now comes the piercing question. Why have you done this? In other words, what in the world were you thinking? You're trying to run from God, you idiot. Don't you know you can't run from God? You can run from him, but you can't outrun him. Ever had that question asked of you by a friend or a family member? What in the world were you thinking? Or sometimes we have to ask others that question. Didn't you realize that your disobedience could endanger the lives of others? And so the sailors are really afraid now. You know, they've been praying to their individual gods, and here Jonah was afraid of the God of the heavens and the earth and the sea. And so they asked him, said, well, what can we do that would calm the storm? I mean, you know, and he says, well, just Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm unto you. So you throw me in the sea, and it'll be all right for you. It'll be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake the great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous again. So maybe there was apparently some land somewhere in the distance that they could see, because they were trying their best to get to that area. But you see, he says, for I know that for my sake is this problem upon you. Jonah is telling them, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. And saints, there are times in our lives that we have to come to the place that we realize the havoc that everyone is going through is because of me. It's not Brother So-and-so's fault. It's not the people at my work's fault. It's not my family's fault. It's me. Jonah realized that the only thing that could save that ship and crew was for them to throw him overboard. Now, these sailors were really pretty good men of character, because they tried everything they could do. I mean, we don't really want to throw you overboard. I mean, you'll drown, you know, if we throw you overboard. So let's try something else. And they tried to row as hard as they could to spare him. But, you know, there come a time that they weren't able to do that. And the captain and his men finally submitted to the will of God, and they throw Jonah overboard. Has God ever brought anyone in your life that you had to throw overboard? Has God ever had anyone throw you overboard? You know, when that happens, the overboard person is simply being put in the hands of the Lord. Now, saints, the captain and his men, they didn't know what God had in store for Jonah. Jonah didn't even know what God had in store for him. When he went overboard, the storm was still raging. Now, Jonah had said, it will calm down for you if you throw me overboard. And sometimes the only way we learn to follow God is to go overboard, for just to be thrown overboard. And I'm sure Jonah and the captain thought he was going to drown. I mean, there wasn't any other conclusion. But God just happened to send Jonah another present. And this gift is one that's mistakenly misunderstood. God didn't send Jonah the gift of another ship going the opposite direction. That'd be neat, wouldn't it? You know, overboard, the storm calms. Now, it doesn't say that the waves, there weren't waves, but the storm calmed. You know, you're out in the ocean, there's usually waves of some sort. But that would have been nice if another ship just happened by and Jonah said, hey, can you pick me up? Going back to Joppa, are you? But that wasn't what God did. God sent Jonah, and talking purposes, we'll call him a whale. God sent Jonah a whale. And I don't really think that Jonah realized at first that that whale was his source of deliverance. In fact, as we look at chapter 2, Jonah pretty near drowned. I mean, it wasn't like that, you know, they throw him over the board, he hits the water, the calm storms, and gulp. It wasn't just like an immediate thing. As you read chapter 2, you'll see that he struggled to swim. He was on the brink of drowning. The waves overflowed him. The billows of, of the ocean was there. And I'm sure here he is, you know, it talks about him going down to the bottom and, you know, you struggling back up. And here you are, you're in the middle of the ocean. You're trying your best to live, but you're drowning. And you pop back up, and here's a big old whale with his mouth open to get you. Oh, great, Lord. What else can go wrong today? And we don't always recognize the hand of God, do we? And those of us that were raised in church and have heard this story from Sunday school up, we often think of the whale as a big bad fish that swallowed up Jonah and then later spit him out. But actually, the whale was a gift from God. Saved his life. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. God had prepared and provided that whale for Jonah. And so you see, saints, inside that whale was cover. Inside that whale was shelter. Inside that whale was protection from the storms that were outside. God had provided the whale. And so if we stay in the whale, he'll take us in the right direction. If we don't try to get out too soon, you see, if you get out too soon, you're going to miss Nineveh. The whale's going to take you in the right direction. Now, Jonah didn't know that at the time. But the whale went into the depths of the ocean, and that's exactly what happened to Jonah in his relationship with the Lord. There are times we need to get inside the whale with God. We need that alone time with the Lord. We need that time of being hid away with God, away from the multitude of voices in the world, away from all the counsel that everyone wants to give us, and just in the place where the only voice we hear is the voice of the Lord. And you read there in verse 1 of chapter 2 that from inside the fish, Jonah began to pray. We don't read that Jonah prayed any other time before this. God told him to go to Nineveh. We don't read that he prayed. He went to Joppa, and we don't read that he prayed about that. We don't read about him praying as he got on board the ship. We don't even read about him praying when the captain said, get up and pray. Everybody else was praying. We don't read a word about Jonah praying. But when that fish swallowed him, he began to pray. He began to pray from inside the belly of the whale. And it said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and he listened to my cry. In my distress, I called on the Lord. That's a good time to call on the Lord. You hurled me into the deep. Who did? The men on board ship? No. It was God that hurled him into the deep. It was God that hurled him into the deep. Said, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled over me. All your waves and your breakers swept over me. Notice it was God's waves. It wasn't the enemy's. God's waves that swept over him. He said, I've been banished from your sight. That's the way he felt. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Now he had fled God's presence, and now he longed for God's presence. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. He was struggling in the waters. Now that some of that could be both while he was trying to swim, and others as far as inside the body of that fish too. But he says, seaweed was wrapped around my head. Now you ladies know that's a very expensive spa treatment nowadays. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life from the pit, O Lord God. You did. You brought me from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, you see, when I thought I was dying, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Saints, are we willing to let what we consider our life, our priorities, the things we consider important, ebb away and remember what the Lord wants us to do? Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. Jonah had found a time of remembering, and he remembered what God had called him to do. And he saw that the hand of God was in this, all of this situation. Was it a great place to be inside that whale? I mean, even though there was shelter and protection and from the storm and so forth, what wasn't a desirable place to be. But he came to a place of a song of thanksgiving. And many of God's people learn to offer up praise in the midst of their storms. What I have vowed, I will make good. You see, Jonah had come to that place where he was willing to go the direction the Lord wanted him to go. And he says, God, I'll do what you want me to do. And he came to realize that salvation comes from the Lord. Deliverance doesn't come by the result of what I can do, what I can figure out. Not by our hands or our solutions. And so Jonah knew the deliverances that he had experienced, that they had actually been the hand of God. If God had not intervened, that ship would have shipwrecked. That deliverance was God's deliverance. If God hadn't intervened, once those dice, whatever lot was cast, and it fell on Jonah, that captain and those sailors could have killed him right away. Well, you're the cause of it. You're gone. God delivered. The sea, how long you had to tread water before the whale showed up, I don't know. But God delivered him from the sea. And then later we read that God delivered him from the whale. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land, or it hurled him onto dry land. Just like he had been hurled into the ocean. And God had done a real work in Jonah's heart, but when you read the rest of the book of Jonah, you find out he was still a flawed character. Still didn't really, although he ministered what God wanted him to do, he did God's bidding. But God had that whale hurl Jonah on dry land. The scripture says he vomited him out on dry land, thus letting us know that that whale was under God's direction too. To spit Jonah out on dry land meant that that whale or that fish had to, due to his size, they didn't come into shallow water. So he had to be pretty close to shore. And another thing, whales rarely vomit. They rarely vomit. The only reason that a whale vomits is when they take something into their system that they're not used to. Something like a Jonah. And when that happens, it starts an irritation in their intestinal tract that causes a reaction in that whale's stomach to produce kind of a vomiting action. And when that takes place, a substance comes out of that whale's digestive system called ambergris. And ambergris is a substance that bakes and hardens in the sun into a black, crusty, waxy material. And ambergris is a very rare, very sought after, very valuable substance. And for centuries, ambergris or whale vomit was used, not so much now because of synthetic materials, but for centuries it was used in the manufacturing of the world's finest perfumes. Any of you ladies in years past that wore Chanel No. 5 actually was putting whale vomit on your body when you used it. And I said all that to bring you to this thought, that if we'll only yield to the direction that the Lord is providing in our lives, and we'll let Him lead and let Him guide as He sees fit, that our lives can actually be a sweet-smelling savior or a blessing to the lives of those round about us.